Welcome back to Mortals and Portals, a Pathfinder Real Play podcast. I'm your host and GM, Zach, and joining me at the table is...
Adam, and I play Jewel... Oh, no, I don't.
Ooh, I play jump all over catch.
I play Tuck, human something.
All right.
I'm Joel, and I play Dax, a kobold rogue.
Unfortunately, yes.
I'm Taryn, and I play Maximilian, an orc something.
Yeah. And we're doing Dax's origin part two. So the NPCs are returning. Take it or leave it.
Unfortunately. We're still alive. Zach didn't kill us.
For better or for worse.
That's our goal. It's just to see how quickly he can kill us.
So last time on Mortals and Portals, we checked in on Dax on his home world of Drakkus, this hostile land where the sun scorches the surface and inhabitants must migrate in eternal darkness or beneath the surface to survive. So we got to meet Dax's companion, or whatever you want to call him, Meeg, a fellow kobold that he is traveling with during this rotation around the sun. There was all sorts of obstacles in their way that was preventing them from traveling on the surface, so Dax took Meeg to this secret entrance he's heard about, where he will sail over this lava river past the dwarven city of Drekheim and into a secret passage that leads to the Underlands. So they sailed using their tents as like some sort of glider, and they encountered a mutated dwarf known as a Durga that started hurling lava at them, destroyed Meeg's glider. Dax had to go back to save him, and they made it into the Underlands. And Meeg was absolutely shocked that Dax went back to save him, to the point where he like almost couldn't understand that he did it. And it was sort of this first glimpse of how Dax is different from everybody else on Drakkus, and like cares about people, wants to be heroic, put himself out there for others, and that's just not reciprocated by even his closest companions on the planet. So they journeyed onward into the Underlands, and in time encountered this like makeshift party of goons. All our guesses.
It's not a makeshift NPCs. Party of goons. Yeah, it's a real party of goons.
We got some slow talking.
I would
orc.
Say fully competent.
Yeah. This short foot human man, and then just a
with tiny arms.
You yeah, just with tiny arms and short feet, not short legs, short feet, and then this like weird gargling. Whatever you are, Ryan, the gripply toad guy.
Very good.
Yeah, and they were fighting this giant bug, and Dax, once again, felt compelled to save them. Meeg wanted no part in it, said it wasn't worth the risk, and then, you know, Dax dived down there, saved them in a cool, heroic way, using a stalactite that pierced the bug, you know, saved them. Then he learned from these guys that they had this job that their leader was taking them to in this underground city called Drogadoon, but their leader was killed by the bug. You know, Dax and Meeg heard about this mission they were going to get in Drogadoon and know that Drogadoon is this underground city ruled by this group of assassins called the Drozat, and if they're going there for a job, it must be a pretty good job. So they were opportunistic and decided to take command of this party of goons that are best served as followers, and latched on to Dax, and he led them to Drogadoon. They got to the city, and it's occupied by this spirit, and they had to offer something to gain entrance, so they gave the acid gland of the bug. The spirit evaluated it, accepted this offering, and in return gave them this bowl of like translucent magical paint that they marked their faces with, and supposedly it will glow for a duration equal to the value of the offering, and they can only remain in the city while they have this marking. If they do not get out in time, they will be killed. And they entered the city, and that is where we ended our session, so that is where we will start our session. So, as you enter this city through a passage that revealed itself, you begin to hear rambunctious murmuring chatter, lots of activity, and as you crest the opening and make your way into the city, you see all sorts of ancestries, you know, orcs, goblins, humans, fellow kobolds, even some halflings, gnomes, you name it. It's here, even things you wouldn't expect to see anywhere in Kaldora. Dax, you're perhaps seeing ancestries you've never seen or heard of in this moment. Kind of just soaking it all in. It almost feels like in Star Wars when they walk into the cantina and there's just, you know, all sorts of species. So it's a bit overwhelming at first. You're also starting to see buildings for the first time, again, carved into the stone. You see people trading goods amongst each other, haggling. As you weave your way through crowds, people bumping into you, each person having this same marking on their face. You see some of these markings are glowing just as bright as yours, some brighter, some dimmer, knowing that their time in Drogadoon is coming to an end. And although there is all sorts of activity going on and many people packed into one place, Dax, you are undeniably surprised by how restrained everyone is. You've only ever encountered small groups of people in your time on Dracus's surface. And normally when you see people, you stay away from them. Or if you encounter them, usually some sort of fight ensues. It's very seldom that you have any semblance of a cordial interaction with people. And you would assume this has everything to do with the presence of the mysterious Drozat that govern this city from the shadows. Perhaps you're bumping shoulders with the Drozat right now. Perhaps you're being watched by one. You simply have no idea. And as you guys make your way through this crowd, you find a small clearing amidst the bustling activity. And Meeg looks to you all and says, "So where were you supposed to meet this Zig guy?"
"Yeah, I remember Torg mentioned something about the secret sanctum. We were going to meet there."
"It's not very secret now, is it?"
"I think he said septum."
Don't listen to him.
Yeah, he definitely
pretty
did.
Pretty positive
it, yeah.
It was sanctum.
The secret sanctum, yeah, that's a tavern of sorts.
"You know where that is?"
"Yeah, I do. It's basically the tavern here. You know what a tavern is, Dax?"
"I guess I wouldn't. Nah, I can't say that I have."
It's weird. Everyone goes there to relax, you know, eat in peace."
"Now I know you're pulling my leg. What is this place?"
"I'm serious. I'm dead serious. Swear on the Drozat." "Oh, wait, I don't know if I can say that." Looks around over his shoulder.
"All right, well, take me there. I gotta see this."
"All right."
"This whole place gives me the creeps."
"Yeah, anything that can make people on Drakus act civilized is nothing to mess with."
"Amen."
"Let's go."
So you continue to move your way through Drogadoon, following Meeg's lead. Passing more people, you see gambling taking place, people playing games. Dax, you don't really understand these games, know the rules, but you can just see like people reacting to cards being placed down, throwing their hands in the air, sliding coins, other valuables over to each other. And Dax, perhaps for the first time, you hear music being played in the streets, entertainment.
"This place is really something else."
"You know what's even crazier? Apparently stuff like this exists all over Kaldora. It's rare here, but, I mean, normal elsewhere."
"And I could get used to this."
"Really?"
Meeg looks at you utterly surprised once again.
"I hate it, man."
"You like being on the run all the time?"
"You kidding me, Dax? We're kobolds. It's what we were made to do."
"I know, man, but..."
"Theragun never left this place. Why should we?"
"I just can't shake this feeling that there's something... I don't know, there's something more out there. I mean, you know, I don't really fit in here."
"I'll see. But you know, Dax, this stuff, it's complicated. You know what's simple? Surviving. There's almost some comfort in it, you know."
"Yeah, I guess."
"Anyways, let's keep going."
And you eventually make your way up to a large stone building, unevenly carved into the terrain. See a glow coming from the windows, hearing music beckoning you inside, and you make your way into the secret sanctum. The air is filled with smoke.
"Oh, what is this?"
Meeg sort of waves his hand through the air, wafting some smoke out of his face.
"Yeah, I don't know. Apparently people breathe this stuff in for fun, I guess. Get enough of that from the heat vents, you know what I'm saying?"
"Yeah."
Gives you a nudge.
"No joke."
You see in the center of this tavern is a large cage with many people gathered around it. You see what looks like fighters climbing their way into the ring, also with markings on their face. Many people cheering, yelling out profanities, very rambunctious, taking bets as these fighters enter the ring.
"Yeah, and apparently down here, fighting is recreation. Ridiculous."
"Do those guys need help? What's everybody cheering for?"
No, they don't need help. In fact, don't help them, Dax. Looking at you, thinking about how you dived in there to save this crew that's now running with you. You do that, you'll have to answer to the Drozat. It's, sport. Gambling, They place money on these fighters. Whoever wins, you know, you reap the reward.
Yeah, I get it.
At their expense. And these fighters begin to engage violently, pummeling one another as the crowd cheers.
Hey, look at that, Jib. You want to go next? I could probably throw you in from over here.
Do you think I could take him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then I look to Maxie and I go, Shikmad, like, no flipping way.
No.
Oh, yeah, Jib, you could totally take him.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Jib starts trying to climb into the ring.
Hey, guys, shape up. We got to keep a low profile in here.
Maxie will help Jib into the ring.
No, Maxie, grab him. What are you guys doing? I was joking.
Huh?
Grab him. He's going to get in there.
All right.
I thought you said I could take him.
Yeah. No, you idiot. You die.
Yo, Dax, these guys are going to get us killed.
I know. We got to hurry up.
So you know this Zig guy or what?
I had a run-in with him a few revolutions back, but it didn't end very well. He ended up stealing all my stuff.
Sounds about right. What's this guy look like anyway?
Oh, well, he comes from the Volthorn line, so he's blue.
Jeez. A Volthorn? Hate this guy already.
All right, Dax, can you roll me a perception check?
That's not bad.
What is it?
23.
Well, that's good.
Dax, you begin to scan the crowd through the smoke. First, looking at the crowd gathered around the cage as these two fighters beat each other to a pulp. You do not appear to see any kobolds in this crowd and begin scanning. And you see a bar carved into the stone. And leaning against this bar is a blue kobold with a rounded face, yellow eyes, and straight horns that protrude directly backwards out of his skull as he sips on a drink that he stirs in his hand, smirking at the fight, and know it to be Zig.
I'll look over at Meeg and just kind of tap him in the chest. There he is, over there by the bar.
Perfect. Lead the way.
I'll just make my way up to Zig, trying not to raise any suspicion or ever trying to maintain the low profile.
Dax, you make your way up to Zig, who's chilling against the bar, looking at the fight, sips from his drink again, doesn't even really seem to notice you. Even gives you a quick side glance as you step into his view and then looks away back at the fight, clearly not even recognizing you.
Dax will look down at the water skin on Zig's hip. That looks awful familiar.
Zig tilts his head, cocks his brow.
Do I know you?
Zig, we don't have time for this. I'm here for the job.
Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. You're that guy from a few rotations back. What'd you find when you were scouting ahead?
Taps you in the chest.
Love the water skin, by the way.
Yeah, I bet you do.
But, what job you talking about? I'm not sure that's ringing any bells.
And he cheekily sips from his drink.
The one Torg told me about.
He looks around.
Well, where's Torg?
Torg didn't make it. We're gonna pick up where he left off.
You see Zig kind of shake his head as he takes a sip from his drink.
Well, I'm off Droga, am I right?
It does seem that way.
But that's all you know, huh?
That's about all I could get out of him before he died. Told me I had to meet up with you. As much as I didn't want that to happen, it seems like it has to.
And, is this your crew?
And he looks over your shoulder, sees Meeg, and then the other three are wandering up.
Hey, is this Zig?
Yeah, and you are?
The name's Tuck. Nice to meet you. I was, second in command, I guess you could say. Yeah, Torg's dead.
And how did that happen?
Oh, just like my last leader, from insect venom.
Sheesh.
Yeah,
that's
he was gone
heck of a
super
way to
quick.
Go.
Yeah.
Happens all
my
the time.
Oh, my old Draga, you know what I mean? Oh.
Yeah, hey, what's up with your feet?
My feet are...
short. The humans had different proportions.
What's that over there?
Oh?
Yeah, what is that?
He looks at Jib.
Do you like to be tickled?
Oh god, I forgot.
Tickling, what's that?
I'll show you.
He goes, no, you don't want to see that.
Get him, Jub.
And I tackle
as you start to reach out, Zig pulls out a short sword and puts it right at your throat as you start to step forward. Watch it, Toad.
You got it, boss.
I don't want to have to communicate with this one at all. Got it, Dex. Puts his sword away.
Likewise.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
Oh, he's not that bad.
In fact, who's in charge around here, Dex? That's the only one I'm talking to. Is it you?
Yeah, I'd say that's Dex. You go ahead, Dex. You got this.
Dex will look to Meeg.
Meeg puts his hands up like, don't look at me. Shakes his head.
I guess that'd be me, Zig.
And so it is. Right this way. And he hops off the bar and gestures you to follow him.
That guy's just... hang out here, watch the fight. I'll be back.
You got it. We'll be watching the fight. Ain't that right, Jib?
Okay.
Yeah.
And Dax follows Zig.
Good contribution, Taren.
Yeah.
Start to weave your way through the crowd. Zig, as you're walking, looks to you, Dax, and says, look, Dax, before we go any further with this job... before you meet my employer, what do you know about Drekheim?
I mean, I've heard of it, but I can't say I know a whole lot about it. Passed by it a time or two.
You see him stop walking for a moment and look at you. You know a way into Drekheim?
Maybe I do, maybe I don't.
Maybe you should tell me if you do or you don't. Dex.
Look, I can get the job done.
He tilts his head back, judging you. Says, well, maybe Droga smiled on us after all. If you can get into Drekheim, that is. And you make your way through some back halls of the tavern, going deeper, and he leads you to a doorway that seems to be obscured by some sort of magical barrier that shimmers before you. You can't see through it, you can't hear anything on the other side. And he says, wait here a moment, unless you're having second thoughts. Which case, don't be here when I come back. Got it.
I'll be here. And then Dax's hand will just kind of rest on the handle of his dagger. Not sure what's gonna come back out.
All right. And he turns and walks through the shimmering doorway. You stand there for a while in the hallway. You can tell wherever you are is where some undesirables, maybe some important people in this city seem to gather for business, as you see ominous looking thugs making their way down the hallways, passing by you, staring you up and down as you rub shoulders with them, maybe starting to get somewhat of an uncomfortable feeling, wondering what you're getting yourself into. But before you can question yourself any further, Zig steps back out and says, he wants to meet you. Let's go. And he walks back in.
Dax will hesitate a moment, put his head down a little bit, and head in.
As you cross the threshold of the doorway, you see a very dimly lit room, dark in all corners, illuminated only by the faint blue glow of a sun shard placed in the center. Just beyond the sun shard, you see the faint silhouette of a creature sitting in a chair, as they puff smoke into the air, leaning forward closer to the sun shard. And this figure looks like a fox, though Dax wouldn't necessarily know what a fox is. You've never seen an ancestry like this. He has all white fur marked with scars all over him. Very ornate clothing, rings on all of his fingers. And as this figure takes another puff of their cigar, he looks to you with yellow eyes and says, what is your name?
The name's Dax. You are?
I have been called many names, but you can call me Zorok. And Dax, you would know Zorok to mean Skyblade in Draconic.
That's cool.
Skyblade, that's an interesting name.
It is not one I have given myself, but one that has been given to me. The figure takes another puff of their cigar, leaning forward even more,
Tell me, Dax, what do you want out of this life?
We're all just looking to get rich, aren't we?
This is true, yes, but you see, this is a job that I need done. Riches will only drive a man so far. Will your quest for riches motivate you in the face of death?
There's a lot of stuff I've survived, Zorak, and those motivations may have changed over the years, but the one thing that remains constant is I keep surviving, despite everything that keeps hitting me.
I too am a survivor. I can respect that. Drakus is not the only dangerous place in Kaldora.
He leans back in his chair, drawing from his cigar once again, its embers illuminating in the darkness, and he takes a deep exhale.
Zig mentioned you may be able to get into Drakheim. Is this true?
I have before. Didn't stay long.
This is smart of you. Would you be willing to go back, perhaps?
If the pay is high enough, sure. Why not? Maybe it'll get me a ticket off this rock.
Oh, it'll get you off of this rock. If you survive, that is.
And he gives a cheeky smile.
That's all I've ever done.
Do you know what corium is, Dex?
That's that metal they work with down there, isn't it? I don't know much about it. I've heard legends.
Very good, yes. Very rare material. Valuable in the right hands. But those wicked Durga hoard it to themselves.
Let me guess, you need some of that?
Aha, yes. Very good, Dax. I need an ingot of this aquarium. But, you see, it is difficult to steal. The Durga, they protect it with their lives. Even if you can get into Drakheim, you are unlikely to get past their vaults. But there is a moment in time where their aquarium is vulnerable, you could say. When they are making it, you see.
And how do you know when that's going to happen? From what I hear, it's a pretty intricate process, and they can only make it at certain times.
Ah, you know more than you let on. This is true, but I assure you that will not be a problem. I happen to know precisely when they will be making this corium.
Oh?
Yes. I will share this information with you if you are willing to accept the job. You and your crew. Yes, you do have a crew?
After a little bit of hesitation,
yeah, I do. But tell me, why not Zig?
Well, you see, Zig is valuable to me. You are not. You are like trash, disposable, you see.
Put off a little bit by being called trash, he understands kind of where Zorak is coming from.
You seem well connected. What about the Drozat? I mean, don't get me wrong, I want to do this, I'm trying to make sense of it.
Zorak takes another puff of his cigar, looks at you.
I have no doubt the Drozat could do this task, but I do not want to draw the attention of Omah Hatif.
And Dax, you know Omah Hatif is a placeholder name for the leader of the Drozat, since no one truly knows who that is.
If Omah Hatif knows, Droga knows, everyone knows, you see. And I would like to avoid their gaze.
Keep it for yourself. I get it.
You could say that.
All right, then. I assume you had some sort of plan to how this was going to go down. I can get in there. What do I need to know from there?
I will provide you with a blueprint of Drakheim, so you know where they will forge this corium. I will tell you the date and time they will be making it. And I will tell you what node you must deliver it to, and by what time. You see, you must bring this corium to me off-world. How you do this, I do not care. In fact, I do not even want to know. I simply want to know that I will see you on the other side of the node with my corium. Do you understand?
You have my word.
Very good. Zig will give you the details. But, Dax, there is one more thing.
What's that?
I've already told you everything. Too much information for someone not worthy of this job. In fact, if you are not worthy, I must kill you, and I assure you I can do that quite easily. I asked you what drives you, and I am not convinced by your answer.
Oh.
Everyone here is eager for riches, but everyone here is also eager to stab everyone in the back and take these riches for themselves. I must know you will not do this, surely you understand?
Dax remains silent for a while. I understand.
Very good. He stands up from his seat, takes a long drag of his cigar. As the ash falls from it, he puts it out on the table and turns his back and walks towards the fringes of the dim light cast from the sun shard and stands there patiently. You wait there, somewhat awkwardly, wondering what's going to happen next, and then you see dim red eyes glowing from the corner of the room, and you suddenly realize there is a third person in here with you.
Ooh.
Who is it?
And this person leans forward ever so slightly, and you see the faint silhouette of a bushy white beard and pale skin as these eyes lock on you.
Ooh.
Can you roll me a fortitude save?
12.
Dax, you can't explain it, but you suddenly feel very anxious. Your heart begins to pound as these eyes lock on you. And then suddenly, you feel as though your memories are being poured through, flipped through, like an open book. You feel violated, as if this person has entered your mind. As you do your best to resist, you feel like every private thought you've ever had about leaving Drakkis, wishing for family, companionship, a better life, is observed by this ominous person in the corner. You feel your memories rearranged, put back, and consumed by this individual. And as you helplessly endure them, sifting through your thoughts, your motivations, desires, emotions, they eventually cease. And this figure leans back, and you hear a weak voice say,
"He is the one. He will retrieve our Corium, Zorak."
And Zig and Zorak stand patiently, as if ensuring that this individual is done speaking. You can tell they yield to him. And after silence lingers in the room for a time, Zorak says,
"Very well. It seems you have earned yourself a job, Dex. Zig will let you know everything. And the next time I see you, we'll be on another planet."
Dax is pretty freaked out by the whole situation, of course, of getting his mind tampered with like that.
I wouldn't like that either.
Right. And so I don't think he's going to respond at all. I think he's pretty much just going to turn towards Zig and a bit shell-shocked, I guess, just head towards the door and leave the room, pretty shaken by what just happened.
Zig steps up behind you.
"Lucky you, Dex. Everyone else who's entered that room didn't come out."
"You're a real stand-up guy, Zig. Let me go in there without any warning."
"Hey, what'd I say? If you have any second thoughts, don't be there when I come out."
"Well, I'm glad it worked out. So tell me what I need to know, and then we'll be on our way."
"All right. You might want to write this down."
And you pull out a piece of parchment, and he begins to give you all the details about the precise time and date the Durga are expected to be making Corium. Tells you the location of the node and the date and time it will align. You quickly notice this window is very small. You'll have to get this Corium and make haste for the node. He assures you he will participate in your crew, making sure the node is clear, but tells you the rest of it is up to you. Gives you a pat on the shoulder, and he says,
"See you at the node, Dex."
"Yeah, Zig. See you then." And Dax will start slowly heading down the stairs. He's a bit nervous about what he just got himself into. This is kind of unlike anything he's experienced before. I mean, he's done little quote-unquote jobs for money before, whether that's gathering supplies or, you know, clearing the path, scouting ahead, that sort of thing, but never anything like this. This feels like organized crime. Not that Dax really knows what that is, I guess, but, you know, this feels much more intense, much more threatening. Kind of for the first time, he feels like his life is on the line, not from an environmental standpoint, but from an enemy standpoint, like an actual flesh and blood, you know, somebody will potentially seek to kill him on purpose. So instead of just the environment swallowing him up, so to speak. As he descends the stairs, that's what's on his mind. And as he turns the corner, he'll kind of snap back to reality as the crowd cheering for the fight kind of comes back into the front of his mind. And he'll start looking for his
crew,
Buck Wild crew.
Dax, as you begin searching for them, you see Maximilian cheering.
Go on, Jib.
And look towards the center of the ring, and you see Jib fighting against what looks like a stuffed teddy bear, essentially, in the ring. And everyone's just, like, losing their minds as Jib is, like, ripping off the arm of this stuffed puppet, and stuffing is flying everywhere.
Don't eat it, Jib. You're going to get indigestion.
I wanna eat his arm.
No, don't eat it. Don't spit it out. Jib, spit it out.
Oh, it tastes so good. I'll eat the other arm instead.
No, don't eat any arms. Don't eat any limbs. You remember what happened last time.
Dax, as you walk out, Meek is just shaking his head at you. He's like, I do not know how this happened. But
what did you do?
I turned my back with, like, 5 seconds, and he, like, legitimately got in and into the fight. I don't understand, but I put a lot of money on him, and it's actually working out well.
Unbelievable.
And you look over one last time as Jib stuffs this poppet completely into his mouth, devouring him before everyone.
No, Jib, stop!
The crowd is going wild, and you see people slamming their fists as they lose their bets.
We're gonna pay for that in a couple hours.
Yeah. Attaboy, Jib.
All right, Meg, we better get everybody together. We gotta get going. And then Dax will make his way towards the ring.
Hey, fellas, let's go. Come on.
Oh, Dax. Oh, hey. Did you get it figured out?
You just see, like, Jib burp out some stuffing onto the stage.
Yeah, I did. Get Jib and whatever the
Come on, Jib.
They're coming.
Jib, as you're, like, walking through the crowd, like, strutting awkwardly all cross-eyed, everyone's, like, patting you on the shoulders, like, oh, wow, I can't believe it.
I ate a bear.
Yeah, we all saw it, Jib.
It tasted like a pillow.
Imagine that.
I want seconds.
And I start trying to climb back into the ring.
No.
Go on, Jib.
No,
help
seriously.
Me up, Maxi.
Max, will you get him? We don't have time for this.
Sorry, Jib. Dax says gotta go.
Grab him. Okay.
So, Dax, eventually, your crew, again, for better or for worse, gathers around you at a table in the secret sanctum.
So, what are we in for?
Yeah.
Are we eating again?
Dax turns and looks at everybody slowly.
We got a job.
And that is where we'll end our session. So stay tuned for part 3 of Dax Origins for this epic heist into Drekheim, racing towards nodes and all that stuff. But you know what? Everybody shut up. Adam, just whatever you're doing, shut up. Whatever that is. I know you're not talking about the session, but I just need you to shut up. Because
that's fine.
We're going to have you do your song in the downtime. In the downtime is for patrons where you can hear Adam do a song. No, just kidding. Yeah. The downtime is for patrons where we react to the most recent episode. Again, per our new tradition, I just want to read a cool comment from you guys just to let you guys know that we see it and to thank the crew for all their hard work. And this comment comes from YouTube and was a comment on episode 31. Pretty cool comment that we got the other day. And this person's name is Starsniff. And they said, the Pathfinder 2E group IGM stopped meeting several months back. I decided to find an actual play podcast to listen to and stay engaged with the system, even though that is not something I've ever found much enjoyment in. I'd tried before, but never really clicked with the group and always dropped whatever I was listening to after a few sessions. I actually heard about Mortals and Portals through the Reddit post you mentioned at the end of the episode and decided to give you a shot. I was hooked by episode 2 and I've stayed invested for 30 plus episodes now. It is so clear you all love the game and the story Zach is laying out. Not only that, your podcast lit a fire in me to get my own group back together. We'll be starting the Strength of Thousands AP in a couple weeks, and that likely wouldn't be happening without me finding mortals and portals. So thank you, White Flangel, and thank you, Digsby's crew.
Wow.
Let's go, boys.
Good luck.
That is awesome. Yeah, seriously.
Thank you.
Good luck with your campaign. That's so awesome that you guys got back together. I actually replied to this, but I'll just say it again. We started this podcast, one, because we wanted to create a podcast, and two, like, honestly, maybe one of the main reasons was to, like, force us to keep playing together. Totally. Because we had, like, a years-long campaign, but then took a couple years off, and, like, we were all, like, busy, and we just tried to start it up, and it, like, wasn't working. There's always, like, some reason, and we know how it feels to, like, miss playing with your group and just having that to look forward throughout the week. And we've just been loving playing together again and, like, having that. So we're just, like, really happy for you that you're able to get your group back together. I hope you guys are having a good time, because by the time this comes out, I'm sure you've played a few sessions. So, yeah, really awesome to hear that. Thanks for sharing that with us. And, like, you know, it's stuff like that that makes this podcast, like, super worth it to us, just knowing that we're getting people together, getting them a reason to play, giving them some way to enjoy Pathfinder, even if their groups aren't able to meet and things like that. So, yeah, seriously, thanks for sharing that with us, and best of luck to you and your group. And, thank you, guys, and we'll see you next time, mortals. Just what taking a moment to prepare myself for the role play I'm about to endure.
You're going to need a lot more liquor than that.
Role play, if you want to call it that. This would be like a great session to show for someone who's never played Pathfinder. Like, so this is like how you play Pathfinder, and you show them this, and you're like, what? You create a bunch of morons and just, you know, let them do their thing.